now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Greetings and welcome to Bread of His Presence. I'm so glad you could join us today as once again we dive into the text and study this incredible story of Noah and his family that we find here in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. And we're going to continue looking at chapter 8 today, so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me there. If you've been following us, you'll know that Noah and his family and all the animals have been on board the ark for a very long time. Between the time they get on and the time they get off, it's about a year long. I mean, I can't even imagine being stuck on a big boat with family and stinky animals. You can decide which is worse. Hopefully your family's better. But for that length of time, I mean, incredibly difficult. But chapter 8 opens with a very encouraging word. Because it says, after all this time, not a full year yet, but still a substantial length of time, then God remembered Noah. And every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And this was exactly 5 months after the flood had begun. Now, it's very important to note that Ararat is not a single mountain, but a mountain range that's located in eastern Anatolia, within the borders of what is modern-day Turkey. And it exceeds 17,000 feet in certain places. And so the ark comes to rest somewhere on that mountain range. And it says in verse 5 and following, "And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month," which by the way means it's day 224 since they boarded the ark, "the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made." Now, the number 40 is a very important number in the Bible. It is interwoven with the themes of testing and preparation and even transition. I'll just give you a few examples of this. You'll remember that Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai, where he received the Ten Commandments. The Israelites, remember they sin in worshiping the golden calf? Well, how long did Moses intercede for them before God? For 40 days and 40 nights. The Israelite spies who were sent to explore the land of Canaan, they did so for 40 days. And some of them persuaded the people that, hey, we can't enter the land because they're giants and we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. And so they convinced the people not to enter the land, and even to rebel against God and against Moses. And so because of their faithlessness, because of their rebellion, they are forced to wander and be tested in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for every day that the spies had explored the promised land. And then after that, God's people could finally enter. Now, in the story of David and Goliath, remember, Goliath taunted the Israelites for 40 days before David eventually shows up and courageously challenges and defeats this giant of Gath. and the then current king of Israel, Saul, reigned for 40 years before eventually being succeeded by David. David then also reigns for 40 years. Then his son Solomon reigns for, you guessed it, 40 years. The prophet Elijah, remember, after he's strengthened by an angel, he travels 40 days and 40 nights in order to reach Mount Horeb, also known as Sinai, where he, like Moses, encountered God. You'll remember the prophet Jonah, how he warned Nineveh that in 40 days their city would be abolished, destroyed. But the people, even the king, repented, and so God spared them. Ezekiel the prophet, remember, he was commanded by God to lie on his right side for 40 days to symbolize the years of Israel's sin and punishment. Even Jesus, right before he entered into ministry, he was first tested in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, when Satan, remember, appeared to him and tempted him. And later, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and many other people over a 40-day period during which he's teaching them and instructing them about the kingdom of God. And so here, as in the rest of Scripture, Noah goes through a time of testing and preparation that is marked by that number 40. And so the story, it's transitioning, as we see, to a new phase. Because Noah, he opens the window of the ark, and it says in verse 7, "Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth." And so at the end of 40 days, 11th month, 10th day, on day 264, Noah opens the window of the ark and he sends out this raven. Now, I don't know if you know anything about birds. I don't know that much. But I've learned that the raven is a very hardy bird, which is seen in that it keeps going back and forth, to and fro, until the waters eventually dry up. So, I mean, very strong flyer. But being a scavenger, the raven isn't very selective. I mean, it'll dine on pretty much anything, even dead things. But Noah, he needs to know not only that the waters have receded, but that the earth is livable for him and his family, not to mention the animals. And so 1 week later, he sends out another bird. It says in verse 8 and following, "He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground." And that's because a dove is much more selective in its food choices. It will usually dine on things that you might find on the ground, such as seeds and insects, that kind of thing. And so it would provide a very useful indication to Noah of whether or not the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But it says, "The dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the whole face of the earth. So he put out his hand and took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days. And again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth." And this is because olive trees grow at lower elevations. And so Noah, in seeing that leaf, he knows that the lower regions are also now above water. And so for this reason, the dove is seen as something that brings hope, something that brings new life. It appears in and throughout Scripture not only as a symbol of peace, but also of the one who brings peace, namely, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus is baptized, it says in Matthew 3, after Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up from the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down as a dove to him. Then a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, my Son with whom I am pleased." Now, earlier in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, there are several offerings that would be made which involved the sacrifice of a dove. After a woman bore a child, the ritual of purification involved the sacrifice of a dove. Healing from leprosy and other diseases would also be marked by the sacrifice of a dove. And so this is why in Luke 2:24, Joseph and Mary, when they come to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord, offered a sacrifice as required by the Lord's teachings, which is what? A pair of mourning doves or two pigeons. And so based on Leviticus 12:8, their offering indicates that they could not even afford a lamb for a sacrifice. I just think that's incredible that the family through whom came the Lamb of God was so poor they couldn't afford a lamb. Now later, in Jesus' cleansing of the temple, Jesus also drove out those who were desecrating the house of prayer by taking advantage of the poor, who were trying to obtain doves or pigeons for sacrifice. And so I want you to see that for all these reasons, as well as for the many ways the dove is used allegorically in and throughout the Bible, the dove is actually said to be the most important bird in the Bible. Now, we think the eagle is, because he's the most regal. But the dove is actually the most important. And it's no coincidence that in this chapter we have the wind of God, the Ruach, which remember we said last week, can also be translated spirit. And then we also have the dove, also representative of the Holy Spirit. And what this shows us is the active role that the Holy Spirit plays in bringing us hope, healing, and restoration. And after the dove brings back the olive leaf, it says in verse 12 and following, "So he, Noah, waited yet another 7 days, and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah," and this is on day 314, "he removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried." Now, one of the things I love about Noah is that he doesn't come out until God tells him to. I think about how desperate I would be to get out of that boat. But, you know, it's so fascinating to me. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what the birds say, or even what his own eyes are telling him in looking at the dry surface of the ground. No, Noah, think of it. About a year later, he chooses not to allow his eagerness to get out of that ark to allow him to move before God's appointed time. No, he waits on God. He waits 1 month and 26 days before God finally says, "Okay, Noah, you can come out." And I just think, wow, what an incredible way to live. To to be patient enough to wait on God like that? How much better would you and I be if we could wait on God like that, rather than grabbing what we think is best for us when we want it? No, Noah was a man of faith, and he would not do that. He waits. And eventually, God's voice comes 1 year, 10 days after the flood had initially begun. And it says, and by the way, this is the 370th day. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. You know, I don't know if you're going through a flood of trials and tribulations right now, but if you are, I want to encourage you with a very important biblical truth. And that is this: God always brings his people through. Now, it might take longer. Things might get darker than you could have ever imagined. But he will bring you through. And the most important thing that you and I can do in those circumstances is exactly what Noah did: wait on God. Seek his face. Lean on him. Ask him how he wants to use those trials to make you a more steadfast Christian. Wait on God, and he will guide you through. By his Spirit moving in you, he will bring you through to the other side, and on that side will be healing and restoration. And so let us trust in him today. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.